Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Is the information I have accurate that your greatest win of $70,000+ was actually on the weakest link?
No, it was $80,500.
$80,500. Remember the weakest link?
Television show. You were on it and won?
I was on it, yeah. And we taped it a month after 9/11, and I think it went to air like about a year and a half later.
So you'd already spent the money.
They took forever to send it, but oh yeah, half of it's still sitting in a 401k somewhere, and the rest of it I blew on gum, candy, and strippers. That was pretty much the rest.
As you should.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then, we're live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. I have a very nice crowd here for breakfast today.
Wow, vocal.
And we've given them sugar, so they're more vocal than you can imagine.
We got heckling Saliza early.
Yes, which is probably
it's
the way
it's appropriate.
We have people here from Nova Scotia, Canada today. We have people here from Nottingham, England today.
Yes. Love it.
I got a caricature from James Broden of me and Wilbon on PTI. We have someone from Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. So we are all over the map today. Let me read you what we're going to have here at Memorial Day. First of all, tonight we have the Caps game. And it could be the last one, but we have the Caps game tonight at Chatter.
It'd be a good place to drink if they lose.
Is that a 7 o'clock start or an 8 o'clock start?
I'm guessing 8.
I think it's an 8 tip.
All right, so we want to get people here a little bit earlier.
It will not be the last game.
Ron and Elizabeth have decided the theme for Memorial Day weekend. It's not like Mother's Day weekend. You can't say Mother's Day without lobster, okay? And that was different. This is Memorial Day weekend. This is very nice. 20% of all honor dogs and patriots, it's for people who served. It's for people, and you don't have to have served. You're welcome here. But if you have served and you have a military ID or anything like that, there's a Patriot special for $9, two hot dogs and a beer. That's pretty good. Two hot dogs and a beer.
That's
20%
very nice.
Of all of those sales will be donated to Pets for Vets, which is, the charity that is my charity of choice most of the time is Guiding Eyes for the Blind, but they involve pets, and this is for military people, military personnel, and the pets are great for them. So 20% of those sales will do that. Apparently, you can't say Memorial Day without oysters, so that on Saturday, there'll be all-day oyster specials. Crispy oysters, oyster poor boys, oyster shooters, oyster stew, raw oysters. On Sunday, because of the Indianapolis 500, there'll be 500 minutes of 500-cent specials, and that's $5, I believe. Beers, fried chicken sandwiches, and milk and cookies. Because the winner's circle, you douse yourself. Whoever wins the Indy 500 douses himself with cold
milk.
But
not appropriate to pour your milk over your head here in Chatter. Right?
I don't care. You can do that. If you
buy it, you can do what you like.
Yeah, do what you want. On Monday, the extended weekend brunch from 11:30 to 2:30, Bottomless Mimosas. And $5 Bloody Marys. We will do that a lot. Let me get to one or two letters here from Brian Crosby in Great Falls, Montana. My only child, a masculine child, asked if he could have a Tony Kornheiser themed birthday. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage, and I asked if he meant pardon the interruption, and he said, no, just Tony. So encloses an invite to Cooper Crosby's 8th birthday party on May 19th, which was. We thought about having the party at Chatter, but the 2,074 miles from Great Falls to the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer proved an obstacle. We tried to figure out his strong relationship to Bootsy's grandpa, and the only thing I can think of is how he used to listen to the podcast or the radio show when I was up feeding him in the middle of the night. Somehow the yodeling managed to soothe him. Enclosed are shirts for Barry and or Liz to wear to work as a sort of a dig towards their fellow Washington sports reporter, Roman Stubbs. During my student teaching stint, Roman was one of my students in journalism class. Obviously tremendously talented. I had little to do with his numerous successes. It's the closest thing to a David Aldridge moment that I've had on the show. And there are shirts from C.M. Russell High School. Now, Brian is a teacher at C.M. Russell High School, and the C.M. Russell Rustlers Girls Basketball Program, which he is the head coach and humbly applies to be the official Montana girls basketball team of the Tony Kornheiser Show, which you have. You get that. Barry and Liz, feel free to wear these at work and remind Roman and everyone else that this year versus Great Falls High, the CMR girls team was 3-0 and the boys team finished 2-1, including a state championship. So it's really nice. So that's very, very nice. Appreciate that. We also have...
Great Falls, Montana is beautiful,
is
by
it?
The way.
I've been
there, yes. Beautiful.
From Ed Butt, I know you strive for that delicate balance of local and national sports coverage. In order to help you achieve that balance, I'm enclosing the front page of the sports section of Friday, May 11th, the Traverse City Record Eagle. Above the fold with a four-column photo, no less, is an article about the Frankfurt High School coach's contract not being renewed. Despite his having turned around a losing program, 13-31, and amassing a 127-41 career record with three conference championships and a trip to the Final Four. Like, what did he do wrong?
Yeah.
Like you, the former coach takes the position that not having his contract renewed means he's been fired. And that is the position that we take.
Yes.
And finally, we got some pictures here. Last May, my husband and I got to be tourists in D.C. Little did I know at the time, we were primarily in D.C. to visit Chatter and experience the podcast. Had a wonderful breakfast. So appreciated getting to meet you and take pictures. Later that same night, we had a dinner and walked along the Georgetown River where Zach asked me to be related to him by marriage. Aww. You and Chatter in D.C. will always be part of our story. And she sent wedding pictures, and that's very, very nice.
Oh, that's
from
lovely.
Zach and Tracy Hofsummer.
Very, very nice. Willing to come to Chatter was probably the final hurdle.
I think so.
Yes,
so that's really
sort
good.
Of resolved.
It's like the quiz. It's like the Colts quiz in Diner, you know?
Wasn't that great?
It was fantastic. It was, wasn't it great to hear from Barry Levinson when he's like, the studio hated it so much, they just said, do whatever you want.
Just let it go, let it go. All right, let me start with the basketball. Wilbon will be on later. Golden State finally got some threes from Steph Curry. Steph Curry was 1-for-7 in the first half and shaking his head and doubting himself and acting weird because I watched the first half of that game and a little bit more than that. And then in the second half, he got 26 points on 10 of 12 shooting. It's a terrible game. It's none of the games in the conference finals have been competitive. None has been under 10 points in the East or the West. This was 41 points yesterday between Houston and Golden State. Golden State won by 41. James Harden didn't even do the Matador defense. He didn't do anything. The night before, it was 32 in the East. LeBron said, okay, we're done with this. I'm going to win a game here. So you have... Am I wrong, Chris? These are terrible games. They're terrible.
The one benefit is that I don't have to spend like 3 hours watching them because Garrett, we were talking about this just before the show started. It's not only that they are not great games. They're blowouts from almost the jump. I mean, Golden State was up 11 at halftime.
I'm sure Mike will defend.
Early in the third quarter.
Fascinating subplots.
Yeah. Early in the third quarter, they were up 25.
Well,
The Celtics game wasn't even that close.
No.
I mean, that was first quarter over.
They're over, and they're over quickly.
These games stink.
Yeah.
And when you get to the finals, there are going to be a lot of people who say, why am I watching? Yeah. And they're not. This cannot be good for the league. The Vegas Golden Knights.
So the game where Houston beat
Golden State.
Right.
Yeah.
So was that game one or game
two?
That was
game
two.
And wasn't that a huge? What was the margin of victory?
Oh
then?
Yeah, that was like 30
another
points or something.
Big
like,
margin.
Like I was trying to think. Like it, I want to say
there has not been a close game.
But I want to say the difference between game two and game three was like a 70-point swing, right? It was like a 30-point win one way and then a 40
They're
the
not
other.
Good games.
Six games, zero
I got to hear
games.
How Mike defends this because these are not good games.
We'll have to stay tuned for
watching
that.
Watching greatness would be my – would be you're watching greatness. When you watch a seven-foot person be able to dribble the ball up and take threes and pass the ball the way Durant does or Curry, you're watching greatness. And then you're watching LeBron. I mean, that it's not an entertaining game.
Would anybody seriously say that Harden and Paul are as good or better than Durant and Curry when they are at their best?
But you shouldn't.
Kevin Durant is not a guardable person.
No.
So if he is spinning around and making shots, I don't care who you put on him. You cannot guard him.
They were already.
You cannot guard him.
This was the third quarter. They were already up 25, and D'Antoni had called like four timeouts, like in a row. He came down. Durant dribbles. They throw the ball into him. So just a reminder, he's 7 feet tall. They throw the ball into him. He brings the ball up the court. He makes one move and he takes like a 26 footer right in the heart. I mean, what do you do?
I don't think he can be guarded.
No.
I mean, I'm not sure that Harden and Paul can be guarded, but they are not as good together as Durant and Curry. And then on that same team, there's Klay Thompson and there's Draymond Green,
Draymond had 17 rebounds.
Yeah, so
than everybody else that Houston
has.
He
can be guarded. It's because you're likely rolling someone to him, and then he's so tall that he's going to find the open guy. And to your point, there's three guys who can make a shot.
So when people said, they said of Kevin Durant, they said, oh, this is really cheesy. that he's going to Golden State, and they'll never, and even no matter what titles he wins, they'll never be his titles. He's more responsible for winning the title last
Absolutely.
Year than anybody else,
and he might
and
do.
Will be this year.
He might end up doing what LeBron threatened to do.
Five.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are. Klay Thompson is already talking about signing for less than market value.
They'd like to stay together,
right? Because they know they'll be the best.
Curry is how old? I mean, who's the oldest of them?
Curry.
And he's 29.
I mean, 28, 29. He's been in the league 8 to 9 years.
Yeah.
He's.
So, but still, I mean, you're talking about Durant is in his mid. I mean, Durant
is 30 years old.
30. Okay. So Durant is probably 27.
They got 3 or 4 more years. They have 3 or 4 more years together to be great.
If you can keep Nick Young, that's the key to that.
Durant 29.
So if the Vegas Golden Knights have now gone to the finals, they won the series 4-1 over Winnipeg. Which, by the way, has the NHL sighing with relief because you can get ratings.
And we need to talk
Vegas.
Schedule because I'm probably going to go to Vegas for one of those Cup games, the Cap Knights Stanley Cup games.
Oh, right, right.
Did the Capitals say as a group that they would travel over there to see
so they await,
Tampa
they
will, and
they
Vegas
will be playing?
They await the winner of the Caps and the Lightnings. What is our level of concern for the Caps? Now, the Caps have lost 3 in a row. They've lost 3
in a
row.
Yeah, can you hold on? I believe Nigel's got a thought.
Oh, he broke it.
You broke it.
Broke the duck and covered
it. How did I break it?
He throws it too hard.
Oh, wait.
There we go.
Duck and cover. Get away from the window.
It's funny because it's a duck.
Beato.
Barry's Verlugas says that the series now rides on Braden Holtby being great.
Yes.
The guy Vasilevsky for Tampa is great. Because if you watched either of the last two games, and you watch the amount of shots on goal, that the Capitals sent on him, that he rebuffed. Like, Braden Holtby's getting half the amount of shots on goal that Vasilevsky.
Now, the first two games of that series, it looked the exact opposite.
Yes. So what do you think? I still think they'll win.
Well, I believe that the Capitals will win tonight, and it would not surprise me if they won decisively. And I think it has to be that way. Just like they have to exercise every single ghost. So they had to give up the 2-game lead to Columbus. Then they had to go through Pittsburgh. Then they had to completely lay down in that Game 3 at home. I mean, this is all.
Do you think if they lose this game with a 2-0 lead, that would, I will tell you this, that would make them 3-6 all time with 2-0 leads. 2-0 leads. The Boston Celtics are 54-0 with 2-0 leads. The Caps would be 3-6 all time. And just for comparison's sake, the Montreal Canadiens, they're 51-5 all time with a 2-0 lead.
I saw a stat.
Would this be a choke? Would it be a choke? Because Lightning's a better team. I mean, they finished ahead of them.
The number one seed.
Would this be a choke?
I think you'd have to say it's a choke.
They were up 2-0. How do you say it's a choke?
The audience says choke.
They were up 2-0 going home. Yeah. How would it not be?
I saw a stat that was much less favorable of the Caps in 0-2. I'm going to check that. Are you confident on that 3-6?
I think that was about games, not series.
Yes.
You're talking about series, right?
What do you mean?
Okay, 3-6
in series.
Yes.
In series.
Because in games, it's like 0-10 or something like that.
If you have, if they have a 2-0 lead.
They have 5 blown 2-0 series leads in 85, 96, 03, 09, and 13.
And what about 3-1?
And they have blown 5 3-1 series leads in 87, 92, 95, 2010, and 15. This is a tweet from Go Clark Go, so thank you.
Yes, I'm just talking about the 2-0 lead.
Yeah. Well, it would be a gag.
They don't have the
3-1 lead. And it would be compounded by the fact that they were so completely in control of the series a week ago.
If they gave up 2 goals tonight in the first period, choke job, and they got no chance.
But 19 seconds in to Game 5.
Yeah, they just weren't ready.
But they've done that.
But I will
times.
Say this.
How's Brian Trotz?
Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin, who still has not won anything.
No, that's right.
Has shown up for these playoffs, and statistically he's shown up for playoffs in general. I mean, he gets his points in the playoffs, but
yes,
I do, Tony. I expect I thought even the Saturday night game, I felt like my whole Caps would have packed it up and gone away down 2-0 in the first, and they hung in there.
The
they
goal.
Took it to them.
They did.
But that guy's been, Vasilevsky's been hard to figure.
All right, so we will take a break when we come back. Wilbon will join us. Wilbon's 3 hours early. Wilbon. It's like 8 o'clock now. That's 5 o'clock where Wilbon is.
Yeah, said call me on my
cell. You think he's even going to sleep though after yesterday's game?
Texted me last night and said call me on my cell.
So crazy. All right, we'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy. That is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. We should sell tickets to this, although it's free. It's stupid to sell it if it's
free. Let's sell tickets.
Actually, it would be stupid to buy it.
It's free. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or you need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I don't think we'd sell any tickets to the podcast because it is free.
You're
selling the live experience.
We could sell tickets to this room, but it's, you know what?
You're selling live experience.
People
I think
want
you would.
To be in this room because they think it's the concierge level.
You
but
can't
it's
hear the
worse because you can't hear the show. It's a stupid place to see it.
I don't
SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Imagine if you want to see Bruce Springsteen, you can go to SeatGeek. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. And by the way, $20 off Springsteen? Forget it. I mean, it's an irrelevant sum of money.
Two beers.
Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek, the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Jake Trujillo, who's in San Diego, where he's a loyal little. The song is called Outrun. The band is called Spider and the Ant.
Spider.
I like that. He said, we would love to be on the podcast. However, I must confess, the rest of the guys hate sports and seem to give me an ever more confused look whenever I say La Cheeserie, followed by what the does that mean? But if it airs, you can get three more littles. Thank you very much. They play in Michael Wilbon, who is in San Francisco, where it's 3 hours earlier than now. So it's 5 a.m.
Wow.
And that's really early. So I'm going to try and keep these questions relatively simple. Let us start with the Caps. And I will tell people the Caps. So I am driving home.
Knowing laugh.
On Saturday night. This is a true story. On Saturday night, I am driving home from the Nats game. And I call Wilbon. There's 1:10 left in the Caps game. The Caps they have pulled the goalie. They are wildly trying to score and even up the game at 3-3. And Wilbon does play-by-play. You knew all. I was so impressed. You knew all the players. That was great.
Tony had the help of watching that game and television and knowing a little bit. They didn't have any sort of strange people on the ice. I could get through about 7 or 8 Capitals, and of course, 5 of those guys had to be on the ice at that moment. So it was just it was 1:58 actually, because Ovechkin had just scored that goal. Not Ovechkin. I forget who scored the goal.
Yeah, Ovi scored the goal.
Ovi scored the goal to go to 3-2.
Ovi scored the goal. I think it was 1:58. And it was one of the – look, you know how frantic and how different than anything else playoff hockey can be.
Yes.
And when it's most different is in the third period or overtime of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's nothing like it. And I have enjoyed, you know, I've enjoyed the uniqueness of my hometown team winning 3 Stanley Cups in about a 5-year period from 2010 to 15. So now, you know, I'd like to see the Caps win. I'm not a Caps fan, but I would like to see the Capitals win. I'd like to see them get over this enormous, forget this hump, over this mountain.
Yes.
And I don't care about the Lightning. I don't have anybody. I was at Charles last night, Tony. And how many basketball players can say, Charles says, well, the head coach or one of his assistants, I know those guys. I've been out with them a few times. I really like them. I go, what, Chuck? What are you talking about? But we Charles and I, at about, I don't know, midnight, we're talking about the Capitals, just shaking our head. And, yeah, I gave you some play-by-play.
Oh, it was fantastic. He's going back to him. Over to Ovechkin, lines it up. Oh, it's wide. It's just, like, great. It was great to hear that. And they didn't have enough time. So this is, I think, the critical question. the Capitals have choked for many, many, many years. And I know it's 2-0. And I know it was 2-0 going home. Yeah. It's the best possible 2-0. But the Lightning finished ahead of them in the standings. So theoretically, if they lose this series, as I think you expect that they will do, and I do not, but if they lose this series, does this qualify as a choke to you?
This is one of the biggest chokes they've ever had if they lose this series.
Okay.
Not only, this is choke with a capital C.
Right.
This is both hands around the neck. You've won the first two games on the road.
Yes, yes.
You know what, Tony, that stat that you talked about, it. I have now committed it to memory. The Caps, of course, if they lose this series, would be 3-6.
3-6 in series with it.
They've led by the first two games, led
2-0. Yes, yes.
The Montreal Canadiens.
51-5.
51-5 in similar series.
The Boston Celtics, 57-0.
37-0.
Yeah.
37-0.
Yeah.
And they could be, you know, if they win this one even in seven, they're going to be 38-0.
If you win the first two, and then you lose the series, that's terrible. If your entire lifespan of your franchise is at 500 in those things, that's terrible. The Caps would be 3-6 in these things.
Yeah, yeah. If your entire history is, you know, 650, it's pathetic.
Yes.
And they're going to be 3-6. It's unthinkable. And, you know, it was so funny listening to Melrose. I don't know if it was last night or the night before. A little foggy at this hour, but Melrose sounded so disgusted with the Capitals. His tone was, and it was Melrose's 40th wedding anniversary, and he's doing the show from Bristol, and he's in this almost the night before last. And it just like he just took both hands and just shoved them away, and just said, I can't deal with them anymore. And you know, maybe I always say, look, I'm familiar with this because I'm a Cub fan, and maybe the Capitals need something otherworldly to overcome to put these demons away. Like the Cubs had to overcome 3-1 down in the World Series.
Yes.
You know, and with games 5-7 in Cleveland. Like the Warriors did this 2 years ago with Oklahoma City, but the Warriors had 5-7 at home. To do it when you got to play 5-7 on the road, man, maybe the Capitals have to do something extraordinary, and maybe this is it.
All right, let me shift to the NBA. Six games, six blowouts. The games over the weekend were not even games. What do you when you see this, they're not, they may end up being competitive series. They are not competitive games.
No.
What is your thought about that?
Well, I didn't really have a thought about it, so I went to somebody who I think is about the smartest guy in the industry I cover, pro basketball, and I said to him last night, away from the podium and all this stuff is televised, I said to Steve Kerr, Steve, you have played in these series and now you have coached these series all of your adult life. What do you make? And by the time I said, what do you make? He started nodding, he started laughing, he put his hand on my shoulder, he said, I know you're going with this. And I say, yes, what's your theory on why both conference finals have games that swing so wildly lopsided? And he had a theory. And so this is it. Steve said that he believes that now that teams, with social media and 24/7 total, you know, media saturation, that these teams sit around, players sit around their hotels for 2 days or around the town they're in, 2, 3, 4 days, hearing how lousy they are, hearing how they suck, to use this phrase. And says they come out with fury and they play defense like nobody's played defense in their lives. And in the exchange, what ensues is a three-ball shooting barrage. And while these leads might have been, these runs might have been, you know, 10-0, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago in the NBA, they're now 17-21-2. And the three-ball just exaggerates the reaction that the losing team has the next game. And I thought, you know what, Tony? I don't have a theory.
I don't either.
Kerr's theory sounds smart to me, and it sounds not just reasonable. It sounds like, bing, 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 we have a winner, because he's Steve Kerr. And he has played in them both as a Spur and a Bull. And Tony, here's the thing. Look, these series have unfolded sort of this way in the past. The Celtics and Lakers did this with that famous Memorial Day massacre, where one team wins by 40 one day and the other team wins by 40 in 2 days. So we've seen it, but not with this kind of regularity.
No, it's just every
not,
game.
It's not a new phenomenon, Tony. But here's the thing. The Rockets came out after game one, and everybody feels, again, social media has a lot to do with fueling this. Everybody feels like their manhood is at stake if they don't go out and gut the other team because of the phrases, the words that have been used, the constant conversation. They're hearing it from their families, social media, and they come out and they just go wild. And the three-point shooting barrage buries the other team, and you get these swings. And because you've gotten it in both series, you've gotten it from the losing team the night before, the game before. Look at Cleveland. And I think that Steve is on to something. And what we'll see is, so Steve Kerr already started preparing for this, his team. He talked about the force we've got to reckon with in game four, meaning Thursday night,
yes,
tomorrow night. And let's see. I don't think that the Rockets can come back and blow the Warriors' doors off here in San Francisco, in Northern California, but maybe they can. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I watched last night that there's one guy in the play. Well, there's one guy in the East, and then there's one guy in the West. Kevin Durant is unguardable. He's simply unguardable. If he's making his shots, he's going to get as many points as he wants. If you run a second person at him, I know. But if you run a second person at him, and Curry is now hitting shots, I don't think. That Houston can beat them. I'm going to be really surprised if Houston beats them in game four. And I'm going to be really surprised. I'd be far less surprised if Cleveland beats Boston in game four. Far less surprised. So
I don't think they're
going to do it. So
I expect Cleveland to beat Boston in game four.
I don't.
I think this is – here's the deal too, Tony. I think you said this first. You know, I picked Boston to win. I still expect Boston to win. But I'll just say this. If the Cleveland Cavaliers come out and blow the Celtics away tonight in Game 4 in Cleveland, I think LeBron's going to lead them on a four-game run after they put down.
That would be great. If he got to the finals with this, seriously, that would be great.
Tony, the others scored 89 points for the Cavaliers in Game 3.
That's right.
89.
Yeah.
They couldn't score 39 in a couple of these games where they hung LeBron out to dry. And so, I have some interesting theories about that and the way, what is it that Cleveland can do. And I think that, I don't know this, I think that T-Lou and LeBron have to be at odds over how to play tonight.
So you're,
LeBron doesn't want to run. He wants to control every possession and walk it up. And that's not what T-Lou wants.
Well, LeBron is on the court with the ball in his hand.
Well, Tony, if you talk to any coach, pick the coach. From Larry Brown to you could pick the coach. I don't care who you pick. Or Hall of Fame players. Larry Bird, Magic, I don't care. They're all going to look at you and say, oh, they're not going to win the series that way. They have to move. They won game three, Tony, by running.
Yeah, I have two words for you, and you'll know them very well. Rick Pitino. I mean,
But that's not, Tony, you pointed this out. That's college basketball. It's different. In pro basketball, everybody knows what you have to do to beat them. Everyone knows it. There's no dispute over it. There's no arguing it. Everyone knows the Cavaliers then proved it by winning a certain way in game three. So it doesn't stand to reason that they're going to come out and just sort of walk it up.
I think they do whatever LeBron wants because LeBron is the great force. He's the great force.
I think if they do that, they lose.
And that may be the case.
And I believe that Cleveland will win tonight.
Okay. And then you believe they'll actually beat them in Boston, where Boston hasn't lost anybody.
If they'd win four in a row. I said if they blew their doors off.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe a 6-point win, an overtime win, a close game back and forth.
Okay.
I don't think that discourages the Celtics enough to then go home and drop game five. But if they come out and manhandle them and beat them by 25 and master them then that changes the tenor and tone of the series to me.
Did you and Charles watch the Royal Wedding at all?
You know what? I did not ask him about that. I can't believe that with the number of topics we can cover in about 2 hours at the bar, that we didn't talk about that. But we did not. I did not.
You did not?
I caught some highlights. I had, you know, I have my own. You don't want to get into what I think.
Well, that's,
but, that's why we're talking to
that's
you.
That's why we have you on.
Well, I mean, that's why I mean, one, the interest I had is that...
I mean, she's your girl. Marvel. She's a Northwestern girl.
She became the most famous Northwestern alum ever in a minute, right?
Right, right.
I mean, she surpasses Charlton Heston. She passes everybody.
Well, briefly.
Seth Meyers and she...
Briefly. Anne Margaret.
Michael Wilbon.
Anne Margaret.
I want
Larry Irving, my dear friend Larry Irving, who I'm going to kill, put a question out there in the social media universe saying, did Meghan Markle pass me as the most famous Northwestern? I'm going to crush Larry when I see him. But so I was into that. But Tony, let me just say this, and I didn't watch the whole coverage, so I can't be pointedly critical. And I have to be careful here because I didn't watch most of it. What I watched, and let's face it, the unique thing, the thing that is most unique about Meghan Markle is not that she's an actress, is not that she's outspoken, is not that she's the first, you know, sort of liberated woman, even more so than Diana.
No, it is not. Sort of tell the people what it is.
Yes. It's that her little face is brown.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Mama's black and daddy's white.
That's right.
That's what this is about. Yet, what I watched on NBC, they didn't have any black people talking about this. That you can say they had an African American in Hoda. You can say that, and it's true. She's Egyptian.
Yes,
and she's American. So you can say an African American. You can say that, but I didn't. And maybe they had somebody in an hour. I wasn't watching. You know, I watched maybe an hour of NBC's coverage. I didn't change the channel. I was getting ready to go to the airport to fly out here to San Francisco. Where were the black people? You can't find if you're NBC. I gotta watch that long. You don't have anybody black.
I watched.
Really got white people talking about this wedding.
Well, I watched one black woman, who's British, who talked about it at great length on either NBC or MSNBC, and I thought it was NBC. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying, and that is also
the
thing.
What the hell are they thinking? And so, what are they thinking? If that's the case, in the hour I watched, and I shouldn't even be able to watch an hour and not see a black person. When they're sick, they doubled up the desk. It was like eight. They had two at every station when I watched.
What was interesting to me, and this is tangential because we're going to talk about it later on this show, the people who entertained at the wedding, the people who did the music at the wedding, were all not white. All.
They were not all black.
There were Asians as well, but there were no white people doing that.
Elton John didn't perform.
No, not that I saw. No. There was a choir and there was an orchestra.
The cellist.
I saw that. That's part of the reason I had the reaction, because then people on NBC were acting like this was like an alien form of entertainment. No. Baby girl has heard this at every church she's been to her whole life.
This is very,
There was a phrase at one point, a sentence that someone asked. I'm not accusing anybody of being racist. I'm not accusing anybody of coming off like a bigot. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. People love this thing. But here's the phrase that got me was that, have you ever heard anything like this in your life? Yeah. Every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every Sunday in black life, that's what we hear. Maybe most not as good, but some better. So, no, this is not alien to Meghan Markle. It may be alien to the white folks commenting.
Well,
sort of what we do.
Also, the Anglican,
don't have anybody saying
the Anglican
that.
Priest who did the ceremony was black. Man, that's, I watched a lot. All right, well, we'll talk later.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
I cannot say strongly enough, in other hours, you know, there were some brown people. Then fine. Then good. Then you can say, "Well, by shut up." I'm just saying. In what I watched.
Oh, so you missed? Did you miss when Paul Pierce and Tracy McGrady sat around and talked about it? You missed that part.
I missed when T-Mac was on. That's the same on me.
I'll talk to you later. Some sleep. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad, and as long as they keep this copy, I will continue to say that there are four or five paragraphs here that I understand, and then we get into Urdu for me. Have you ever thought about starting a blog? Do you have products or services to sell? Maybe you have a business to promote or an upcoming event to announce. Well, a dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Squarespace is encouraging folks to make it. Easily create a stunning website by yourself using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. With Squarespace, the power is in your hands to really make your website your own. You can customize the look and the feel, the settings, the products, and more with just a few clicks. And that's where we stop speaking English and we go to sell anything you want online thanks to Squarespace's powerful e-commerce functionality. Enjoy free and secure hosting, built-in search engine optimization, and analytics that help you grow in real time. And with Squarespace, you never, and I repeat, never have to worry about a glitchy-looking mobile interface. Mm-hmm. Never, because everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. We are back to English. Keep dreaming, but make it a reality and make it stand out with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/TonyK for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TonyK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
After hearing you and your subjects chat about the upcoming Royal Wedding, I thought it was high time I wrote to you and shared my dear friend's gorgeous music, written by Chris Marshall and played by the former royal harpist, Claire Jones, who played at Harry's big brother's little wedding a few years back. I present to you Cariad from their hit album in the UK, This Love. Chris and Claire are Welsh and are both fluent Welsh speakers, and they wrote this song about their daughter before she was born. Claire has played for Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles, as well as many other luminaries during her time as royal harpist. Now, how do I know these wonderful people, being a little from Pittsburgh? Chris is writing and Claire is playing all the original music for a feature film I'm working on called The Thunderers. It's a comedy about a guy from Pittsburgh who goes to study in Wales and ends up helping to form the first Welsh-American football team in Aberystwyth. Aberystwyth. Or Aberystwyth in Wales. Where's that guy from Nottingham, England? Am I pronouncing these things correctly, I hope?
Of course.
It's based on a true story written by one of the founders, Kerry Warwicker. Isn't this something?
It's very cool.
This is really good. So she wants to. We would ask to be the official film feature endeavor of the Tony Kornheiser Show and or the official harpist of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Sure, sure.
We were looking for a harpist. Class, right?
So true.
Tony, yeah, that's my official harpist. It's not a big deal. So this is from Michael Capozzoli.
Yes.
This is beautiful, beautiful music.
Isn't it fantastic?
And Michael, if people want to send in their original music like this to get it played in its entirety after the podcast and not just the bumper music here, wow, this is great. How do they do it?
Send in your music by emailing it to the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
You've been to Wales, right? Didn't you play golf in Wales?
Been to Wales.
I thought Celtic Manor was in Wales.
I am not sure. If so, then I have been to Wales.
I
know that I've been around the area.
Seen a whale.
Yeah. I know. I thought Celtic Manor was actually in Wales, though I could be wrong about that.
This
I knew you played.
Just gorgeous. And I should point out that Michael, elsewhere in the email, he says, oh yeah, by the way, Nigel, I've got a part for you in the movie.
That would be so great.
So I thought he was kidding. I was like, yeah, I'm ready, willing, and able. He says,
ooh, what a shot.
No, I'm 100% serious. I've got a role for you if you can fly over. So now he sent me the script. I believe this is actually going to happen later this summer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you can do it.
Yes. Yes.
So are they shooting in Wales?
Yes, they're shooting in Wales. He just emailed me last night and said, yeah, it's going to be, I think, sometime in late August.
Well, that jives with your family reunion over there.
It
so
does.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well,
how does that fit your other shooting schedules, though?
Well, I'm doing Mission Impossible 5 promotional tour at that point, so I think it should be free.
That's interesting, since that movie came out about 2 years ago, MI5.
Yeah, they're up to seven. Tone, you know the most famous current Welshman.
Well, Tom Jones was Welsh, I thought.
Incorrect. Gareth Bale, striker for the Real Madrid football club.
I didn't know
next
that.
Guess.
Is
yes.
Wales is a separate country.
It
under,
is. They,
under the
they
right.
play in the European Cup right. by themselves. Right. They have a small but not that great team because it's a tiny little country. Yeah.
Not as small as Iceland.
Information
which
for
got,
life.
Which got into the main draw.
Yeah.
Are we, just as a side point, are we doing that Champions League final preview?
We are.
Because it's Saturday, 2 o'clock, Real Madrid against Liverpool.
We're going to do a breakdown of that on Monday. Why don't you be in here next Monday?
No, but the game... Oh.
What do you have for news?
Baseball, Mr. Tony. The Nationals beat the Dodgers in the first game they played them this year, but since then, the Dodgers have beat them every time, including a three-game sweep, which finished off yesterday, 7-2, the final.
So let me talk about this for a second. Steven Strasburg failed. Yeah. He failed. So George Mitrovich, who writes these great baseball notes every day, always used to make fun of me because I talked about the Nats relievers. Now he's come around having watched the Nats relievers. The Nats relievers in this three-game series pitched 6 1/3 innings and gave up 8 runs. In the three losses.
Terrible.
And Strasburg failed. And the sickening thing, and I will get to this in much greater detail later, was on Saturday night after Max Scherzer did everything he could, including batting in the run that made it 4-2, Sammy Solis and Sean Doolittle, Sammy Solis in particular, who should be deported. He and Blake Treinen.
Same boat.
That Sammy joke's so funny.
You know, he's just awful.
We should be careful.
He's just awful. And he's killing the team.
The entire team's awful, you know, except for the starting pitching.
Well, the good thing
is Howie Kendrick's now lost for the season.
I have a story to tell about that.
Yes, Howie Kendrick.
A story about me and F.P. Santangelo.
Positive, baby.
I do.
Is that
what else you got?
Are we going to get that story?
Yes,
later?
Okay.
Are you going to talk about the other injuries and the kid called up and all that? The 19-year-old
going to the DL.
Yes.
Yep. You can talk
deep dive into the Nats. Okay.
Stay tuned. Great. Yeah.
Can I do one Sean Doolittle fact?
Yeah, do some shit. Yeah.
Oh, I get sure. I'll just walk away.
Yeah.
Just
do trust me, it'll be better than what you're doing. Sean Doolittle is the leading RBI man in the history of University of Virginia baseball.
Is that right?
Wow. Yes.
So he was an everyday player? He was an everyday player?
Yes, he's obviously a great athlete.
Maybe we could use him in the lineup.
Yeah, let's give him a bat.
Seriously.
Yeah. Okay.
Back to your little thing, Nigel.
Thank you, Chris. Not a great weather day, obviously, for the last 6 or 7 days. And on Saturday particularly, foggy, rainy. Justify was able to persevere, wins the second leg of the Triple Crown, keeping that in play for the Belmont Stakes.
I always watch these races.
That was exciting.
I didn't see it.
It was exciting.
That's right.
As a television nerd, Gary's probably the same way, I wanted to know who executive produced it because
it was
whoever
good.
Was calling, well, it was so foggy that, you could not see the track, and they have cameras everywhere, obviously, and whoever was calling the camera changes did an excellent job because you couldn't see the sign over there, Tone, the street
the
sign.
Corner,
it was
that
foggy.
Okay.
And they did a pretty good job of making sure that the race was entirely
visible. Justify go to the lead right away?
Justify and Good Magic three quarters of the race were 1-2.
But Justify was, they were 1-2 and Justify, I mean, I'm no horse racing specialist, but it would seem to me, is it Mike Smith? The jockey, just a masterful ride in that if the race, which of course it isn't, but if it was another 500 feet or another 100 feet,
like
Justify probably loses.
Yes.
So this is very important.
The last
for the
race.
Belmont.
Because that's the long one, right?
That's a mile and a half.
Yeah.
The Derby is a mile and a quarter. I think the Preakness is a mile and 3/16. It's a shorter race. A mile and a half, you get caught. That's an extra 440 yards. That's a long way. You get caught, you get passed, you get beat. A lot.
What's interesting, though, is that Justify, you've now had two races. The track conditions on Saturday were not as bad as they were at the Kentucky Derby,
but they were bad.
Right. I mean, it was not a clean track, so I'm interested to see what happens if at Belmont it's sunny. I mean, because you had fog, rain, and mud, and the Kentucky Derby was just a... total mud wash.
Yeah, Bravazo, I would think, we'll talk to Andy, I guess, but I would think
we'll
it would
talk
go
to Andy
well
before
for Bravazo.
The Belmont. Yeah.
And you always talk about one of the great innovations in sports broadcasting. I agree with you on this. Who was the
Being
guy that made
air conditioning?
Who was the guy that made the decision? Like, let's put somebody with a microphone.
The Outrider. It was a made decision by Michael Pearl.
Yes.
Made by Michael Pearl about 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
And it was a great idea. I mean, it's brilliant.
Which decision is that? To get someone on the horse?
Somebody out there.
On the horse to interview the winner while they're still riding around the track.
Cool. Yeah.
To golf, Aaron Wise, just 21 years old, wins the Byron Nelson with 23 under as his final score, had a 6 under 65 on Sunday to finish out.
Do you know anything about him?
I don't. He's a rookie, but the winner is a meaningless stat for this tournament because it was you have a Coore Crenshaw modern golf course that's trying to shake up what the traditional tour does, which is bomb and gouge style golf courses. Now you have some golden age ones mixed in there as well, particularly on the West Coast. But outside of the majors, people were most interested in watching this. And the PGA Tour actually played it a little bit softer to try and allow players to score because the players were a little bit worried about it playing firm and fast.
It was not Las Colinas where it's normally held.
And so this brings a phrase that has been on the mind of golf course, I would say, aficionados and just general interest guys, width and angles into the general consciousness of golf fans out there. So this makes golfers think, and this is a trend that we should see continue. So it was a win, and it's a great victory for Aaron Wise. Interesting, no one else really had any institutional awareness of the golf course other than Jordan Spieth, who's a member.
Well, he plays there. He's a member, yeah. You know what I liked yesterday?
What's that?
First of all, there was nobody there because there was a four-hour rain delay. Nobody was there at all. They would show the overhead shots, and where you normally see oceans of people moving, there was nobody there. But they had Bush 43 on, and they interviewed him, and it was wonderful. Wonderful to see him and hear him. He plays golf himself, and that was really nice.
It's a great reclamation project because it was a dumping ground.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And like, are there buried nuclear wastes there?
They were able to build the golf course on top of it, which is why you can't see trees in the interior of the golf course because the roots would go down into the muck.
Gary, didn't you say that there are those golf courses in some of the countries in Europe and Asia where you've been to where you can feel the nuclear waste through your shoes as you walk?
squishing.
Don't recall
that
saying
seems
that.
Seems unsafe.
Yeah. Sounds about that. Accurate.
No, that seems accurate.
If I made that up, I always thought you told me that.
Royal Birkdale.
What else do you have?
By the way, $1,386,000 for the 21-year-old.
It's a nice day. That is a nice day.
Well, weekend. He had to work all week for it.
Melancholy Happy Trails to Billy Cannon. Won the Heisman Trophy in 1959. So, led LSU to a national championship in 1958.
Right. And Paul Dietzel was the coach then.
Okay.
So here's what LSU is a real powerhouse in football.
Yeah.
It's not Alabama, but it's a real powerhouse.
And has been for forever, right?
Doesn't it surprise you that this is the only Heisman Trophy winner ever from LSU? And it was 1959, so that's almost 60 years ago. I was stunned by that.
In recent memory, however, LSU has done it predominantly with defense.
I mean, and they've had wide receivers who went to greatness.
Yes.
Sure.
But they were not standouts, so they never throw
the ball.
Well,
that's because they don't throw the ball enough.
Right.
And they've had great running backs. I'm just surprised that's the only one.
That's a long time.
How close did, why can't I think of his name right now? The running back.
Leonard Fournette.
How close did he come to winning?
Not close
enough. I would
assume
he's in the top four, but he didn't win.
So this is interesting. Billy Cannon became a dentist. You know, and Billy Cannon was one of those guys. He played in the NFL for a while. He became a dentist. And you think to yourself, he's never going to have to pay for a meal in his life. He's not. And he shouldn't have to. The glory that he brought to that school. He was accused and convicted of counterfeiting. He spent 2.5 years in a federal prison.
Wow.
Billy Cannon, counterfeiting. You don't. Yeah. I mean, you don't see that coming.
Is that making fake money?
Yes.
When was that?
You can look it up. But it was he was already an adult. He was already like in his 40s or 50s.
Wow.
Or in his 40s or 50s, needed money, and so he printed his own money.
Well, it's a smart solution.
Yeah, he printed his own money.
After
I guess the giveaway was it was blue.
Right.
You know? Had his face on it.
Yeah.
So 2.5 years in a federal pen.
Isn't that
counterfeiting in the mid-80s after a series
of
bad investments.
That's like Denny McClain. Yeah, you don't
series
expect
of bad
this
investments.
To happen.
Yeah. Now it's least to do time as well?
Yes.
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 Mr. Tony, we'll take you now to Purcellville, Virginia.
This story is fantastic.
Yes, it's an historic hardware store in Purcellville.
It's a hardware store.
Well, it's been open for more than 100 years.
Let's not make it into Grant's Tomb.
Well,
it's a hardware store.
Tony, do you want me to take over here? I've got more Champions League information.
It's in Purcellville. And it's a hardware.
I'm just saying, according to the Loudoun County Loudoun County History Organization, it is a trip back in time when one walks in there.
Right,
and this is sort of what happened. Somebody did walk back in time. A young man went in
with his dad
in his Boy Scout uniform, asking for donations to help him with his project. And I'm trying to get the exact quotes. Okay, so this woman was waiting for a receipt and she says, "I noticed how handsome he looked. Well-pressed Boy Scout uniform. He looked very proud and maybe a little nervous. He asked the three men behind the counter for help with his project. Immediately, one of them told him, 'Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as the Boy Scouts anymore.' The boy froze," she said. And he was like, "Did you hear me? We don't support your organization. You allow in gays," said the man.
Yeah.
The employee pointed to the door. The boy lowered his head. "Thank you for the time," the boy said.
He threw the kid out.
Yeah.
And his dad.
And
what
his
is
dad.
That?
Well,
what is that? That's ridiculous.
It seems utterly ridiculous. Now, the owner and the manager is like, "Look, this is all hearsay at this point, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this on Monday when I get an interview."
Sure, the kid's
and if
lying.
In fact this happened, he will be terminated. But then it was great because he also says, and this made me think of you.
Yeah, the
owner. The
store's manager said he was worried about what the drama might mean for the store. "It's costing us business," he said. But he said there was no way he would know what was happening online. "I don't use the internet," he said. "I don't know how to use the internet,"
yeah, there you go.
Said Anthony Irwin Kornheiser.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
There you go. Okay. And one heartwarming story for you, going back to golf. Ben Bender is 93 years old. He has been golfing since, 1953. And he got his first hole-in-one on what he said was going to be the last round he played.
Money type situation. Yeah,
great. Go play with my mother-in-law.
Aced the 152-yard third hole last month with a 5-wood.
That's okay. That's so
my 5-wood.
He's
90. He did it with an 8 hybrid.
Wind aided.
Right.
Come on, he's 90.
He said he was in awe watching it, but then his hip started bothering him, forcing him to stop after a few more holes. Headed to the clubhouse, bringing his career
to an end. Wait a
minute,
does it even count if he didn't finish the round?
You have to go nine.
Said he was a 3 handicap at one point. Wow. So he was a pretty good player.
Good for him, that's great.
Yeah. Right. So we'll get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Isley Brothers. This is This Old Heart of Mine. A great song. Great song. One of the Isley Brothers is 77 today.
Ron Isley, lead
Ron
singer.
Ron Isley. Yes. Are all the Isley Brothers with us?
Fredo, Zeppo.
I don't know that they're all with
us. I'm not sure they are still with us.
I have no critical commentary. It's a great song.
It's a great song. Written by
the top 10 all time.
Holland, Doja Holland, alongside Sylvia Moy. Originally written for intended for the Supremes, but they gave it to the Isley Brothers, who at that time were with Motown Records. They ended up leaving just a few years later, but this was their biggest hit. Yeah.
Rudolph.
Wait. Shout is probably their biggest hit. This is a great, great song.
It's fantastic.
But you cannot look at Shout and say it's second in line.
They are both alive. Is it two?
Oh, no, there were more than two. There were at least three.
Rudolph and Ron.
There was a guy named O'Kelly.
O'Kelly?
O'Kelly Isley.
Not with us. He died when he was 48.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
so that's
he
a while
died.
Back.
Yeah, but the other two are alive.
Who was the one who
Rudolph
played at BC?
And Ron.
That was, I know that kid.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an Isley, but it was spelled differently. That was E I S.
Howard, right?
Howard Isley.
He was good.
They are Isley, and he was E I S.
He played for the Celtics for a while. Yeah. Howard Isley.
So, do we want to talk at all about the royal wedding? I was up and I watched a lot of it.
Of course,
you were
up.
It was great.
Seemed okay. Everybody seemed happy. Yeah. You know, did you?
I promised Friday, I did not watch it. Although it was on in my house.
I did. It was a strange situation. My mother had surgery on Friday. And so I was up there for it and was leaving Saturday morning. And so I got to the hospital to see her before I left.
And I got there at
5:50
in
the morning. And so she was up because you never sleep in the hospital. She was up. So we watched some of it together.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice. I hate many things.
Right.
But I don't understand people who hate it on it. It seemed to me that they seem happy and
very pleasant.
Didn't hate on it.
They're wearing their unis.
You love that. You love the red coats, right?
They're wearing the unis.
I don't know why I missed this, but you know, they showed Sarah Ferguson in there. And I knew that she was like tangentially related to royal. So I looked up. Sarah Ferguson has had a mottled past. There's a lot there. She was like arrested at one point.
Yes.
She was not invited to William's wedding.
Yes, but she's also like, she married the guy who was eighth in line,
Andrew, 12th in line.
That's right.
Randy Andy. Nobody cared about him.
Yeah. Anyway, she was.
That's why Harry can get away with anything.
Right.
I mean, because he's not online.
I was cool that David Beckham was there, and it shows why you
Elton
never.
Elton John, Serena Williams,
Oprah
Winfrey.
Don't get a neck tattoo.
Yeah.
Because you look bad, even if you're handsome like David Beckham, in like a suit, you look bad with a neck tattoo.
So I thought it was. I mean, I was happy to see some of it. I just. And I thought of my friend Jared Levine. I thought of him because the song that the choir sang and sang beautifully was "Stand by Me," and that is a Stoller. What? Come on now,
Lieber Stoller.
Yeah, and he met Stoller, and so even in there's the cash register's rolling.
Right.
The cash register's rolling all the time.
And they did "This Little Light of Mine" as they were leaving too. The chorus, so the choir, lovely. It was great.
May I recommend Harry and Meghan: A Royal Romance on Lifetime?
Oh. Is it?
Oh, I couldn't believe
right.
You
watched it, Michael.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure that's on now in my house.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure the dog is watching.
So Michael texted that he was watching that, and I was sitting at my familial home in Connecticut, and I quickly was scrolling through the channels. Yes, the man's. And I was scrolling through the channels, and there were, I couldn't figure out which one you were watching because BBC had one on. There was like five, this was the night before, there were like five Harry and Meghan sorts of things.
How long ago was the wedding announced? Has it been a year?
No, it's a quick engagement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do those things get written and produced that quickly?
There was not a lot of writing that went into this. I was trying to watch Saturday, but I just couldn't get into it because I was used to my own Harry and Meghan from the movie.
Exactly.
Now, I did not get a chance to see the ceremony. How many references to you and to Chatter were made?
Very few. Very few.
I mean, in what they broadcast.
Less than one.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. So that night, so Saturday night, well, the night before, because the wedding was yesterday, I guess. Was it Sunday or was it Saturday?
Saturday.
We went to the Nats game. And one of the reasons, and Michael and I and Jared's friend Larry went to the Nats game. And one of the reasons that we went to the Nats game was because we had A-lot parking. I mean, you want me.
Almost don't
want
to get out of the car,
you
right?
You want me, you give me A-lot parking.
Is that the garage or is that a special?
Player's lot.
Oh, that's the players.
It's the lot that leads into the garage.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, that's
so I'd do anything for A-lot parking. So, by the way, on our phones, all the rain allegedly had stopped. There was no more rain in Washington after six straight days of at least a quarter of an inch of rain
which is a record.
Sunless days.
It had stopped. Yeah, not a shred of sun. It had stopped because when you looked on your phone, except for the fact that your phone was getting wet in the second inning and the third inning and the fourth inning, except for that fact, it said in Washington, cloudy. Except
this is in your zip code. So there was no rain in the 20015 because I checked in on this for my zip code. It did not rain.
Localized
but where we
showers.
Were, we had localized showers and right we were, on the river.
And getting wet. And moving inside and handing out ponchos.
Wasn't there someone to hold an umbrella over
you?
No.
And it rained. But as you look around, and this happens to me all the time, there's nowhere I can go without running into Alan, including Michael. What is the most famous Alan run-in story?
Oh,
the President's Cup.
Oh, we see Alan walking in on a dusty road a mile and a half from the entrance, and we just say, Alan, get in.
Get in the car. This is at the President's Cup years ago. Alan is wandering, and we put him in the car and bring him in. So we see Alan is with Mark Rippon, his good friend Mark Rippon, who had done a charity golf tournament the day before in the rain, and they played in the rain. So we see Alan, and it's nice. And the reason I went early was to see Charlie Steiner because Charlie had been presented with the Aloha Tower thermometer
palm,
and calendar.
Right?
You ditched out on the dinner because Chuck texted me because he hasn't been given your cell phone number to tell you.
That's right.
Yes.
To shame you.
Which you
ignored.
We played the video.
You saw it was for me.
Sleepy guy, Chuck Todd. Same guy.
I don't feel any Chuck Todd. Yeah.
So we go up and we're sitting with Charlie and Michael. You love Charlie, right? Because Charlie,
you can just listen to him tell stories about traveling on the road, and it's an hour and a half before the first pitch of the second game of a doubleheader, and he just goes, "Just get out of here. Let's go."
Yeah. Charlie Steiner.
Great voice.
A lot of people had that voice when he was like 10 years old.
Great voice.
A lot of people have specific goals in life. I want to do the realistic goals, but specific goals in life. I wanted very much to be a sports writer at a newspaper. It was not any more specific than that. I wanted that job. Did you ever want anything in particular?
Just to work here alongside you as a child growing up. But aside from that, I've never wanted for anything. I've had a charmed life.
Chris, you probably have a specific ambition.
NBA basketball star.
Okay, so that was very specific. Charlie Steiner grew up wanting to be the play-by-play guy for the Dodgers.
Pretty good.
He got it.
Yep.
He got it.
Is now he in LA?
The last guy did it for 60 years.
Yeah. Tone, is he an LA guy? Born there?
No.
They weren't an LA team.
Oh, that's right. Right. So he
Malvern High School.
Oh, but it's
well, the Dodgers.
The connection to New York.
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I just wonder why that would be the dream of an East Coast guy.
That is such, it is such an unreachable, specific goal, and he got it. Is that not great?
That is fantastic.
You know, so we're sitting around.
Had you been forced to pick a paper when you realized that was
Times.
Your goal?
Oh, it has to be.
I would have picked the New York Times.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Yeah.
But it was not. That's not what
it's different.
No.
Yeah.
No. That was that would be unthinkable to me.
Right.
But even better, Charlie takes you through his career as a broadcaster for boxing matches and the matches that he was at. And all he wants to do is talk about, they made me wear a tuxedo. I didn't want to.
Yeah, he was upset.
And then you just hear the headliners and you go, oh, my gosh, he was at history.
Yeah. No, he did. He did the bite of the year of Holyfield.
Yeah.
Tyson
did
Holyfield.
He talk about the time
he did Holmes
Holyfield gave him a whooping?
Ali.
We in Bristol?
That's the best. What's the best?
One of the greatest commercials
of all time. Charlie, come here, get your whooping.
He's like
your
hiding woman. Under his desk.
Yeah, he's hiding under the desk. Brilliant. Charlie also has the one, Follow Me to Freedom.
He's wearing the tie.
He's got the tie
around his head. Charlie's got all these great things. So we're up there. We're in the, the media room area.
Yeah, the Maury Povich Media Center.
And I meet FP. FP comes over. FP's wearing one of those a gingham shirt. Would that be fair to say? And FP comes over. He's a handsome guy. He's a well-built guy.
Yes, he is.
He's a big dude.
And the amazing thing to me.
Sneaky short.
But muscle bound.
Yeah,
like a former athlete.
But still
right?
Looks like a middle infielder.
So I know, and I don't know if he knows, I'm very critical of the broadcast. I'm critical of the broadcast. But FP couldn't have been nicer. And an hour before, 2 hours before, I had texted with Michael because Howie Kendrick in left field, Howie Kendrick turned oddly on a ball that he was fielding and went down. And I am not making this up. Within 20 seconds of him going down on the ground, FP says, I think he tore his Achilles. And I wrote Michael a note saying, oh, and what medical school did FP graduate from?
And?
He tore his Achilles.
Tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And he explained it to me. He said, when you tear your Achilles, they ask you to move your calf. And if your Achilles is fine, your foot moves too. His foot didn't move. And I am in awe of FP at this point because he correctly called. And you're 500. How high up are you and how far away from the box?
It's easy to be critical of the Nats press box, but you are very high above the playing field.
FP stands and for family physician,
maybe? And family physician, Santangelo.
Yeah.
And he got that right. And then Bob Carpenter introduced himself
Carp.
To me. And I, RBC.
You're in.
Of course, that's how it works with you.
Now I love them.
Let's not be too harsh on them. They've done a good job.
So
I was reminded of the power of TV because during the season, I watch FP and Carp almost every single day. I shrank in front of FP Santangelo. I was too shy to say hello to him. And you, by many measures, are a much bigger television personality.
Oh, yeah.
But because I hear his voice and I see him every single evening, he stays at the house, I couldn't say hi.
Yeah. What about Coco? Any Coco?
Coco
running?
Was not there. Well, I know Coco. I mean,
yeah,
I
comes
met
in and
Coco,
does a podcast here.
But
yeah.
I didn't see him. So our seats were great. Our seats, they weren't as good as the Saliza seats.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But they were about six or seven rows back. And we were in front of, and this won't mean much to you, when I say that we were in front of Mr. and Mrs. Bert Sugarman, you'll say, well, who are they? Well, that's Mary Hart and her husband.
Oh.
And Mary Hart in all Dodger games is in the front
yes,
row.
Yes, that's right.
Two rows ahead of Larry King.
Yes, that's right.
Row. They travel with the team.
Wow.
They are that kind of fan. Wow. And Jared was thrilled beyond words that he was one row in front of them. And Bert would say things, scream at the umpire. I didn't call out on Puig. You know, I mean, they're like involved. Totally involved in the game.
Are you right? Are you in the Diamond Club or whatever?
Yeah,
or
yeah
right behind home Club. Plate.
Yeah, yeah.
Those and seats are amazing.
Those were really good. I didn't want to be too close because I didn't want to be on.
You don't
television.
Want to be on camera. Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
want to be on television.
The
drink,
surprise. These are
making
very
you
nice
the opposite
seats.
Of all
I have never
Americans.
Seen fancy people jump faster or higher than when they were handing out free ponchos.
Yeah, everybody wanted a poncho. Hmm. Not me, because my phone, which I was holding. Which was waterlogged, said it was not raining in Washington.
Right.
Was not raining. We had a very, very nice time. I left in the fifth.
Yeah,
but you know,
right.
that was a late.
Bullpen after that.
I don't eat much. Everybody else was eating and eating and eating, and I don't eat much. I had some
all the
Cracker
food
Jacks.
Included down there. Were you
yeah,
yes.
I had some Cracker Jacks. I had a couple of peanuts.
You can go. That's the deal. Where
on my way out,
go,
I had a hot dog.
There's a restaurant there, and you can walk
very
in
good
and back
food.
Whenever
yes.
you want. They yeah. have Cracker Jack. They have peanuts.
Very
available.
And they have real food, and it's very good.
Yeah,
it's very good.
I always get.
I was
ice
afraid
cream.
Of running into Brennan's lawyer. Who's going to say, well, you look like you're pretty yeah. hungry tonight.
Yeah. You look pretty yeah. hungry.
Wow, well, you're like packing it in.
Not particularly.
So we had a really... And you stayed for the whole game?
Oh, I did not stay for the whole game.
Okay.
The eighth inning, I started... You know, you start leaving the stadium so you can still see it from the
perimeter. Sammy
Solis
I
ended the night by
game.
Walking by myself for lonely down M Street looking for an Uber as Sean Doolittle gave up the game. But it was Solis in the eighth where it should have been two home runs back-to-back.
I mean, he's they're not... Their bullpen, it's a surprise when they win the game.
Yeah. Did you see Luke?
They got one body less than
I
they
did
have.
Not see Luke. No, I did
presumably,
not see Luke.
I mean, Luke goes to almost every home game,
I don't.
Doesn't
I think he?
He
sold the tickets for Saturday.
Okay.
So it was quite, I was really happy. I hope to not go to the All-Star game. I hope that we broadcast from the park before
PTI?
The All-Star game. PTI, I hope we do not. We're not going to do the podcast. We're not invited. But I hope that we broadcast from down there. That would be nice. I'd like to see the festivities for the All-Star game and then leave before the All-Star game. I mean, but I don't know if I can. I don't know how that's going to work. Anyway. All right. We'll get out of here. We'll come back. We'll do a jingle. We'll do some email. And I'll go take some pictures with all the nice people here. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's time for Tony's Bag.
Here comes Tony's Mailbag. Send him your emails and notes. Here comes Tony's Mailbag. Read some for all of you folks.
Jason Fuse and Gary Braun.
Really good. Can I make a request that every once in a while you roll out the original Gary version, Nigel?
No, we deleted that from the system.
I love that version. So much. That's the one I grew up listening to.
I wish I could say there was some
and now
something
I know
you worked
that.
On that I appreciated, but they're really
soon to be a movie.
I try to do something nice for you.
Maybe
let me thank Will Bond for coming on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek and Squarespace. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Alex in Paris, France, as the Nats bullpen comes off another successful weekend against the Dodgers, I'll bet the Nats management are thrilled with trading A.J. Cole to the Yankees for straight cash, homie, especially since A.J. has a 0-0-0 ERA. In three bullpen appearances for the Yanks. Maybe the Nats can frame the cash next to your Monopoly winnings.
No, he stunk.
Yeah. Nicholas Messalella, were you and Tom Wolfe dating? I mean, we get it. He could write a good sentence. It's enough already. I thought you only sounded like a schoolgirl when talking about Pablo Torre. Just say you complete me and get
East.
Back to weather updates. Mike from Burke, Virginia, your concern about whether Prince Charles actually gets to be king, even for one day, is well-founded. I would recommend the NFL retirement model for poor Charles. He retires, but not before signing a one-day free agent contract with Buckingham Palace and does a presser while wearing the crown and all the royal trappings. After that, he steps down, digs his spurs into Camilla's sides, and rides off into the sunset.
Wow.
That's a cheap shot.
Wow. Mike from Burke, Virginia, always pleasant.
Ranley Durrett from Melville, yes. Long Island, which is on Long Island.
Really?
Really?
You sure?
Melville, Long Island, which is on Long Island. Yeah.
In the state of New York?
Yes. I hope by the time you read this, you've caught up on The Americans. The most recent episode opens with a scene between Elizabeth and Philip. There are silences there that speak volumes. It had me completely on edge. The only way it could be better is if a gun went off and you yelled, "What a shot," in the background. From Jim Flynn, I am caught up. From Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, when you see Ruth Bader Ginsburg again, I suggest you shout at her, "Loosen up, Ruthie, baby." It worked well for John Riggins. From Tim Cree in Fort Collins, Colorado. You don't pronounce the H in Aloha. It's just Aloha. Do you visit Rehoboth Beach? If your sneakers are too tight, do you use a shoehorn? Speaking incorrectly for 70 years doesn't make you right. It just makes you wrong for longer. Just to get ahead of the game, how many of the other 25 letters can you not be bothered to use? It's even worse for Hawaiian, as there are only 12 letters in their language. So you're dismissing 9% of what they have. Way to go. There's only 12 letters in the Hawaiian language?
Yeah, kind of buried the lead there.
Yeah, wow. I'm not aware of that.
Bobby Gottfried. Let's see if I can paraphrase the end of the conversation with Ron Flatter on Friday's show. Tony, my kid knows everything about golf. Go ahead, ask him anything. Barry Silberman in Urbana, Maryland. This may be the key to the origin story of your Aloha Tower Chinese restaurant. Since Aloha. 1926, the Aloha Tower in Honolulu has been one of Hawaii's most notable landmarks. It served as a beacon to immigrants, much like the Statue of Liberty in New York City. It is Hawaii's most recognized building and second only to Diamond Head as Hawaii's most famous landmark. The Aloha Tower has been featured in the opening of both versions of the television show Hawaii Five-0. The Aloha Tower housed a lighthouse that was visible for 14 miles, and its clock was one of the largest in the United States. The St. Louis Gateway Arch, designed by Eero Saarinen, who designed the Dulles Airport Terminal, is a weighted catenary. I don't know what that means. Basically equivalent to holding a chain from two points and then inverting that shape to create an arch. Information for life. And I will get you out on this. Edith Saliza.
Yeah.
From Mike in Gaithersburg.
Catenary is a curve formed by a wire, rope, or chain hanging freely from two points and forming a U-shape.
I've never heard that word before. Once you predicted the Stanley Cup win, it took all the suspense out of the games, and I will admit I stopped watching. So have our new lion-hearted Washington Capitals brought home the cup yet? Or might there be a game or two still remaining? If it's not too late, I'm thinking I'll tune in for the game four clincher. From Dennis in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
Which he says is the city on the move. While watching the local telecast of the Red Sox game on Friday, our play-by-play man mentioned that color man Dennis Eckersley had recently attended the White House Correspondents' Dinner. As a regular listener to your show, I was aware of you having shared a table with Eck and other notable people. He spoke for a minute about the affair, during which he mentioned only two people by name, Brooks Robinson and Tony Kornheiser.
Nice.
That is an honor.
I guess he forgot
that's
he meant
an
me.
Honor.
Boy, that
Jay
hurts.
In Fairfax. Yeah. It took 240-something years, but the United States has finally infiltrated the British royal family. Talk about playing the long con. Now the Second Revolutionary War can truly begin. You were here for the first one, so it's pretty cool. You will get to see at least the start of the second. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! Yeah. I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Royal tithing.
That don't mean hard to follow blindly. And everything is the same in the end. Over and over, will I ever find again? Everything that I ever need helps me get over what I could never ever be.
Love is so confusing, friends can be a team. Is it love that we have, or is it a dream? Us against the world, never jealous, never scheming, always together, rarely touching, a love that's not believed. You're not my type is crazy. You're not my type is mean. What we have is the this all happen. I never saw you coming. Why did this all happen? You're not to be believed. We've both been hurt before. We both thought we were mad. You came into my life. I've forgotten why I was sad. You're not my type. My type is crazy. You're not my type. My type is mean. What we have is beyond love. You're my caryat and my dream. This is all ridiculous. Why did you choose? Definition. So you're my caryat, you're my dream.